If you have your Bibles and you want to follow me in your Bible or your app, you know, we're in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's pray one more time. Father God, I pray that you would open up the eyes of the hearts of the people, your people, Lord, that they would know who you are. Lord, we're in awe of you, the creator of the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in it, and that's where we direct our prayer. Lord God, would you just minister to us through your word during this service in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, that was pretty weak. Amen? Oui, very good. I almost spoke in Spanish. Okay, so in chapter 2, you know, Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. It's around 60 AD, and this church, he has a really strong heart for this church. And he's in prison, and this is one of the prison epistles. And Paul is addressing a church that he spent over 3 years in this town. Some think that this was the very first Bible school. And Paul spent a time there very intentionally discipling. And in chapter 4 of Ephesians, it says to raise up the saints to do the work of the ministry. And so he's very intentional, but he's going to share something very incredible in chapter 2 in verses 1 through 10. He's going to talk about our past, our present, and our future. So let's go diving into our text. Okay, and you, he made alive. I want to stop right there for a second. You. He was talking to the church in Ephesus. Now he's personalizing the message, and he's directing it to every person who's reading it. Every person who's hearing the reading of this word, this letter. And he's like, you know, if I was to print a huge picture of your church over here, and everybody had a chance to go up and take a look at that church, I guarantee that every single one of you would go and look for your face. What? Oh, wow, that's a bad picture. Or, whoa, that's pretty good. Every one of us. Paul is talking to you. He's talking to me. He's talking to the people in Ephesus. He's talking to them in a way that they are believers. They know the truth, but he wants them to remind them of something. Look here, it says, and you, he has made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as all the others. Paul is telling us who we are, who we were before we met Jesus Christ. We were dead, completely dead. You know, it takes, you know, you guys are up here in the mountains, and we've been staying over in Hiawassee overlooking the lake and getting to see the nature. If you see a school of fish swimming, it's easy for them to swim with the current. And a dead fish can go down the current just as well as all the live fish. But it takes a really strong fish to swim against the current. We were dead in our sins and in our trespasses. There was no life in us. Your father wasn't the heavenly father that we have now. It was the father of the air, the prince of darkness, Satan himself. In Revelations, it talks about something really, it describes who the devil really is. And a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the world. He has been cast down to earth, and his angels were casted out with him. You know, the job of the devil is to lie, to kill, and destroy. And if, you know, and he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. We, before we were in Christ, we were completely dead. We were ran by the prince of the air, the devil. And it's like, and a lot of people don't like to hear that. Well, that is a good person. The Bible says that there is not one good. Our hearts are deceitfully evil. They can mislead us. And, you know, the Bible talks really clear about who we were when we did not live with Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here today and maybe you've never invited Christ into your heart. Maybe you've never confessed your sins. Maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord of every area of your life. The Bible says there is only one way to heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come unto the Father but through him. The gate is narrow, but the world is on its path to destruction. Many people think, well, this world is going to get better. Look at the news, locally, globally. You know, in Peru, right now, we're going through a lot of political unrest. You know, they elected a communist president, and then they had a coup, and they yanked him out of there. Then the vice president became the president. And it's like, we're, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on around the world. Wars, rumors of wars, disasters, hurricanes, fires. There's a lot of stuff going on. And this world's not getting any better. And the only thing we can change is our final destination and our relationship with God. You know, in John 3:16, I love it. It's not just in 16, but it says in verses 15, it says that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. Yes. That God doesn't want any one of us to perish. Our job as Christians, we are to share the good news. We are to protect our testimonies. We are to be light in the darkness. And, you know, we need to really try to reach the lost, have a heart for the lost. And God is telling who we were before we were made alive. We were brought from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And God has saved us from that wrath. But you can only be saved if you have Jesus Christ in your heart. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus was raised on the third day and you will be saved. Excuse me. It's not a hard thing. It's a first step thing that you need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul is telling us who we were. We were once ruled by our flesh. We were in that current of the world. We didn't know any better because we had that sinful nature that was handed down from Adam. And we thought we were doing a good thing. We thought we were okay. Well, I'm telling you here that God changed my life. When I was in the kingdom of darkness, I was addicted to crystal meth for over 15 years. We stole cars. We sold drugs. And God took me out of that darkness. Took me out of that grave, being completely dead in my sins. Sin and trespasses separate us from God. And the only way we can get to the presence of a holy God is to be cleansed and purified. And that's what Jesus did on the cross for us. I know who I was before Christ changed me, changed my final destination, given me hope. And today we're singing about the hope of Jesus. You know, and I love this because here in verse 4, I love this whenever it says in the Bible, but God. But God. Whenever you see but God in the Bible, put on your seatbelt because you're going to see God doing the impossible. He's going to do something that we cannot achieve in our flesh, that we cannot achieve by our own works. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved through faith. You need to step out and believe that Jesus Christ was sent by the Father to come here to show us a new way, to provide access for us to get into the kingdom of heaven. But just receiving Christ is only the first step. If you say, you know what, in our church, you know, we say that there is a big difference between a believer and a Christ follower. Anybody can believe. Anybody can say, well, yeah, that's true. I believe the Bible. You ever read it? Well, you know, we have one in our house. You know, I believe it's true. You know, well, have you picked it up? Have you ever read it? Well, you know, that's why I go to church. No, that's for us to read. That's our daily bread. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and God was with him. Jesus Christ, the Word, the living Word. You know, and if we're not in the Word on a regular basis, if not daily, then we are starving ourselves spiritually, because that is our spiritual nutrition, the bread of life. We need to be nutritioned. We need to grow. We need to read the Word of God. And in James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, don't be just hearers of the Word, but put it into practice. It's our manual for life. And but God, who has changed us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light by his grace, by his mercy. I'm sure you guys are very well educated here and know the difference between grace and mercy. Grace is receiving what you don't deserve. Mercy is not receiving what you deserve. Mercy is when you get pulled over by one of these Georgia troopers and you're going too fast, and you say, oh, please don't give me a ticket. It's like, do you know how fast you were going? You're tempted to lie. But you don't want a ticket. You ever tried telling the truth? Yeah, I was going fast. I was going too fast. Please forgive me. I was wrong. You never know what kind of reaction you might get. You know what? I'm going to give you a warning this time. But let me tell you, I don't know, but most everybody in the United States knows about the Georgia troopers. You don't mess with them. Yes, sir. No, sir. Keep your hands on the steering wheel. Mercy, not getting what we deserve. The wages of sin is death. When we were in that kingdom of darkness, we deserved the penalty. We deserved to be punished. We lived in a way that didn't please God. It's against the righteousness of God. And by his love, not wanting to any of us perish, has sent his only son to die on the cross to wash us away from our sins. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We confess our sins, and he will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all evil and bad stuff that we've done. I'm so grateful. I remember sitting in the church the day that I heard the gospel for the first time. Sitting on the seat, and it's like the pastor was teaching out of John 3:3, you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you've been born again. It's like, I don't even think God will even let me in the kingdom of God. I've done some bad stuff. on the edge of my seat. Felt like the Holy Spirit was trying to nudge me. Get up. Receive Jesus. Take that first step to changing your life forever and make the best decision you have ever made. I got up, and I was the only one that stood up. Everybody started clapping. Wow, yay. I go, I've done it now. I got to go forward. They prayed for me. They gave me a Bible. And the person who prayed with me said, you know what? Get plugged in. Start serving. Read your Bible. Pray without ceasing. Enter into that new relationship with Jesus Christ with everything you've got. Because when you lived in the world, oh, you had no problem just taking the cup of the world and drinking it with both hands. Just like a tailgate party with the Georgia, what are they, the Bulldogs? You know, they go out there in the parking lot 3 hours before the game and woohoo, let's whip it up, you know, and everything they've got. How about doing that for Jesus? Giving it everything you've got. Coming to church early. Talking with people. How can I serve? Getting involved. Reading your Bible. Let Jesus work in and through your heart. Ministering. Being that we are the church. It's not these four walls of the gym. It's not your new building. You are the church. We are the church. His hands, his feet. The body of Christ. And every, you know, it's like the pastor can't do everything. But God has given you talents and gifts to work alongside that. In Peru, we have a church that's like a little church out of the book of Acts. You know, we kid around and say we're one of the churches in Acts 29, the chapter that God's still writing, because there's only 28 chapters in the Bible. But that book of the Bible doesn't have an ending, and we really believe he's still writing it, and we're in it. We have a community church. We love to worship God. We love to be in his word, and we love to break bread together. And you know, and God is adding to our numbers. Our school of ministry, we have a whole new generation. We have a women's dorm and a men's dorm, and we're raising up this next generation to do the work of the ministry. It's so exciting to see young people in love with Jesus. I don't know how many of you guys saw the movie, The Jesus Revolution, but I liked it. Who are the hippies today? Who are the people that we need to reach? Maybe it's someone that you normally wouldn't talk to going into the store. Maybe it's someone with tattoos all over their face. But I know that Jesus would go there and speak to the whosoever's, the least. And I know that we are his ambassadors, and we need to go and share everybody what it means. But God has moved us by his grace and his mercy from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And it says, and I love this, and it says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and in his kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You know, we were dead in Christ. We've been made alive. You know, I love what it says in chapter 1. It talks about, listen to this. This is amazing. In him also we have obtained the inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. Our inheritance is heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Some of you might have a U.S. passport. Some of you might have dual citizenship and have two passports. Let me tell you, if you have Jesus Christ in your heart and he's your personal savior, you are a Christ follower, you have that guarantee of that place of eternal life in the presence of God for all eternity. Can I get an amen? You know, that's something I think the church has lost sight of. You know, that eternal inheritance, that heaven that we go to. Your last breath here on earth is your first breath in heaven. And if we live long enough to see God call us up in the air, and he calls us up to come to heaven and begins the great tribulation, you know, hallelujah. Whether we see Jesus before we die or when we die, we get to see him. But we have that promise of heaven. We have no more pain, no more tears. We get a new spiritual body. Hallelujah. I might be tall. And you know, that hope of heaven is what we cling to. Having our minds on things above. Having our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. You know, knowing that he could come back at any time. You know, the early church, they used the word in Greek, Maranatha. Come, Jesus, come. That hope of heaven, that what we share here today is just, you know, a little drop of what eternity is going to be like. You know, we were staying over there in Hiawassee, and our host family was sharing with us what they were reading in one of their books, and they were saying that, you know, that life is like a big long rope, and the beginning of that rope could be a little piece of red tape. You know, that's what we live here on earth, but eternity compared to what we live here today. But we have the ability to go to the throne room of grace in the time of need. We have the ability to call upon the creator of the universe and ask for help. When the doctors give you bad news, when you get some, you see the hurricane coming up the coast, you know, it's like, Lord, I need you. I remember when I had a shotgun stuck in my mouth. And the guy who was doing it said, I better start talking to God because I'm going to meet him tonight. I'd never called out to God ever before in my life. At that moment, if you're real, I will go anywhere. I will do anything. I've messed up my life. I need you. And I need you now. By the grace of God, I'm standing here today. By the grace of God, me and my wife have spent 15 years of our life as missionaries in Peru, pouring in to the lives of the people in our church, just as Pastor Philip and many who serve here. God loves you. He wants to work in and through you. He has a purpose for you. He has chosen you before the beginning of time and has only brought you from death to life. But he's given us hope here today, and he's given us hope for a future. There's a lot of people that still read their horoscopes and look at mediums to find out these kind of things. I'm here to tell you everything you need for life and godliness is found in this book. It's our manual for life. And God wants us not to play church, not to be religious. He wants you to have that personal relationship with him. Because you know why? You're the best part of creation. You know, I love my animals. I love my pets. You know, most of them are rescue pets. And when one of them passes away, it's really, really sad for us. They're like part of our family. But I know they don't have a soul, and I won't see them again, because the only ones that have a soul is you and me. And God says here in verse 10, Hang on to this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. In Greek, it says poema, which means poem. It means that God has written a poem, and he's like still writing the end of that poem. It's like being on that potter's wheel, you know, and you are the clay. And Jesus is molding you and shaping you and making you into a masterpiece. You are the best part of creation. Well, I look in the mirror and I don't think the same thing. Well, God sees you differently. God loves you just the way you are. He has wonderfully knit you together in your mother's womb. He knew you before the beginning of this world and has a plan and a purpose, like it says in Jeremiah 29:11. He wants to use you. We're not to be idle Christians. Healthy sheep reproduce. It's not Pastor Philip's job to invite people to church. It's your job to be ready in season and out of season to share the hope that's within you. That he has changed my life. I have a testimony. God loves me and he loves you, but he doesn't love your sin. And he wants to bring you from death to life. Well, I don't know how to share. Well, start reading your Bible. The Holy Spirit lives inside you. He'll give you the words what to say in the right time. But be available. Ask the Lord in the morning. Say, Lord, good morning, every single morning. If you have trouble saying good morning to the Lord and getting on your knees, put your shoes underneath your bed. And then you have to get down on your knees to get those shoes. And you remember to say, hey, good morning, Lord. I need you. I need you to work in me. I need your help. Guide me, direct me, give me discernment. Help me to see people through your eyes. Help me to share something that edifies someone and it's not critical. We are his hands and his feet. We're the body of Christ. And he wants to use you. You were made for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, in Peru, we have the privilege of just reaching the lost. We have a heart for the lost. We have a new drug rehab that just opened up 3 blocks from our church, and one of the leaders comes in and he goes, hey, can I bring people from the rehab here? Yeah, of course. Started with one, came with 5 last Sunday when we were there. We're hoping that we can be able to go in there and do Bible studies and they can start coming to church. Over the summer, we've had over 20 young adults just give their hearts to the Lord. You know, and we do church 7 days a week. You know, it's like we break bread. They're hanging out at our house. We're feeding them. You know, they hang out at the school of ministry. We're doing, you know, sports and we, you know, do Bible studies and we're doing discipleship and we're pouring into the lives of these people and they're just falling in love with Jesus. And we would rather be in no other place but in the center of God's will. God, use me. Can you pray dangerously? God, use me. Can you make time for God? Do you make time in your daily schedule to have quiet times? Because if you say, well, I'm going to make time. Well, are you? Are you still trying to find time? Is it a priority to be in the Word of God? To let the Holy Spirit write it on the tablet of your heart. Because in him we live, we move, and we breathe. We can do nothing without Christ. And I want to encourage you guys. I want to give you a message. I don't want you to feel bad. I want you to be challenged. I want you to, okay, where do I start? Pick a book. There's 66 of them. Start in chapter 1, verse 1. Get a bookmarker. Get a bookmarker off our table. It's got our picture on it. Pray for us too. Mark it. Oh, I'm going to read 6 verses today. You know, I know a lot of people like to say, yeah, I'm going to read the Bible in a whole year. Well, power to you. You know, do you remember what you read? You know, and I read 6 chapters, 3 in the old and 3 in the new. Okay, do you remember what you read? Let the Holy Spirit teach you. Get in the Word. Meditate on the Word morning, noon, and night. Let it become part of you. And believe me, God will use you because His Word is alive. It's living. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And I want to challenge you guys. Don't just be believers. Be Christ followers. You know, having a baptism, being raised from death to life, that's what that means. We got to see a baptism here this morning, the one in Hiawassee. Make it real. Be real. Be genuine. Be a genuine Christ follower. So I want to invite the worship team to come up. You know, come visit us at our table. Come talk to us. Find out ways to partner with us. Pray for us. You know, we love your church. Your church loves us. We are an extension of your church in Peru. We need your prayers. And we love you. And thank you for letting me share the word of God today.